Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Afti.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about what you do after you launch.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
Yeah, who better to talk about this than you? Because you have, you know, you've just launched something. I mean, you've been launching things, you know, for many, many years. I think it has accelerated in the past 2 years in terms of how many products, completely brand new products you've launched. So you're like one of the world leading experts in launching things, I feel. And so recently you had what I think was one of the most successful or the most successful launches of the kind of recent memory of yours. So you have the big day. We're talking about, you know, this is not launching it in limited alpha. This is not launching it internally with your employees. This is the moment that you decide to open it up and to potentially also promote, right? So do some marketing to get attention that now this thing exists, this product exists in the world. That day is really exciting. We've talked about it. We've recorded an episode on what to do pre-launch, what to do on launch day, and this is the episode on what to do post-launch. So, you know, maybe we'll go through your most recent experience, kind of lessons learned and things that people can glean from it and take away from it. But the day of the launch has ended. You know, you're probably exhausted. The next morning, what do you do on that day? What do you do on that week, on the month post-launch? What are kind of do's and don'ts? Let's break it down for the listeners.
Do is just keep building more product and get ready for the next launch. So I'll start with what I used to do, which I think is a huge mistake, and it's what everybody does. You launch and you're like, all right, let's go build the next thing. What that implies, though, is that you're so good that you know what the next thing to build is. But guess what? You just had all these people sign up for your product. Right. However many, even if it's tens more, hundreds more, thousands more, whatever. And they're prime. They're there. They signed up. You launched. So now what I do is I take those people and I go figure out how to learn the most I can from them and spend that time and effort to figure out what do we do next. So my biggest question to ask isn't like, oh, how do we build the next feature? It's more, what do we do next? And do could mean you do more marketing. Do could mean you focus on acquisition or you focus on monetization or you have a retention problem and you need to fix retention. You don't actually know because you just launched. You don't actually know what that sentiment is. All you know is what you heard before launch and what you heard on the day of launch. What you don't know is what do people actually think now? And is it the same as what you heard before or is it not? And you're going to have a different mix of people coming to your product when you launch compared to whatever you had before that. And most people don't even do a lot of stuff before, to be honest. So they don't necessarily have a lot of detail or depth on what the sentiment is. So then it's even more important to understand all the people that just came in and signed up and what they're all about. So there's a couple ways I do that. The biggest, easiest way is I find people who have not continued with a product and I just ask them in an email, why haven't you continued? And I find the right way to say it for whatever product I'm building, like, oh, you didn't continue signing up or you didn't do X behavior. I'd love to hear why. And you tell them you're one of the first people to use the product. And that's why I want to hear from you. And I don't care how brutally, you know, how critical you are or how much you didn't like it. I'd love to hear because that's the only way we can get better. And so that's an important piece because generally with most products, all products, there's more people that sign up and bounce, especially with like PR launches, product hunt launches, and things like that, because there's a lot of tire kickers, then there are people who continue. So you want to go figure out why the people that signed up didn't continue, if they didn't. And then you want to know for the people who did continue, what are they up to? And why do they like it? And in that scenario, I try to go get interviews with them. So those are the two ways and the two groups of people I like talking to, people who bounced and left and people who continued and actually got to a good place with your product, hypothetically. And I go different levels there. Because I would love to interview the people who bounce, but those people tend to not be wanting to talk to me, right? Yeah. But they will answer a single question by an email and reply to an email really quickly. They will do that. Feels really lightweight. If I can get them to talk to me, I will, but I don't try to give that ass right away. Well, people who are more active or engaged with the product, I'll go after them and say, hey, like, what's up? I want to talk to you for 20 minutes. Like, what's up?
I love that. And I think that's like, it's hard to put this in a time frame, but that's like the way people should think about probably at least for a month or two after launch, right? Post-launch is like, continue talking to the people that continue to use the product, that are getting value from it, to learn what is valuable, how they think about the product, why they use it, and what's going on with it.
I would say that you should do that as fast as you can.
Hmm.
I like your timeline of a month or two, because that'll probably help people understand that this is some shit you take seriously. But I like to do it like immediately. I like to do it and get that done within about a month. And what I mean by done is you're continuously having conversations. There is some, you know, scheduling for interviews, and there is some back and forth, and there are still trickling in of people signing up, or lots of people signing up, depending on what your product is and how it works. And you want to continue to do that. Agree. I think this is something you should continue doing even beyond the launch, but it's so critical during launch. But really fast, you're going to have a team that's sitting there, right? Even if it's two or three people.
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they do? And so for us in our launch, we actually spent a whole month. It's actually the month that's ending right now as we record this, what I call cleaning up house. And the reason is, and I've heard this over and over again, and I haven't really been able to articulate it well until now and having this experience myself. Basically, that's why I call it cleaning up house. In order to get to a launch, it's likely your team did a lot of things that were really messy.
Yeah.
And one example, I can go across all sides of the company, depending on whether you have sales and marketing and product now. But for example, on sales, you probably don't have any process. You're just trying to, you know, close deals or get people in the funnel and get them into trials and pilots if you do have sales before you actually launch, which some people do, right? In marketing, you didn't have any kind of discipline around SEO or marketing channels or anything like that necessarily before you launch. So now you can step back and say, what are the things we need to do that we haven't been doing, right? In our case, we didn't have like proper meta tags. We didn't have proper ways where, like, if people shared on Facebook or Slack or any link from our marketing site, that it would show up properly, right? There's a bunch of stuff we scrambled to just finish, and those weren't right. They're not as good as they can be. We didn't have all the pages we wanted on our marketing site. So we stepped back, made a list of all those things and started attacking those. So that's marketing. Then on product, it's even messier, especially when you account for engineering. There's design polish that probably didn't get done because you waited. You said, oh, that's going to take too long, or we don't have time to do it. So you make a list of those things. Ideally, you made a list of those things before launching, just pick them off. There's another level of product, which is like technical debt. So are there things you just did quickly and knew you needed to clean up later, or things you did quickly didn't even realize you needed to clean up later? You should look at all those things. It's likely that, you know, in engineering, unit testing and testing is a big thing as part of engineering. If you launched, it's likely you don't have enough test coverage. So what that means is it hurts your ability to iterate. Test coverage is essentially the idea that you write code and then automated tests run by machines to help make sure that code doesn't break anything old. Well, guess what? It's likely you don't have a lot of that. It's likely you didn't need it, right? And if your product actually has some amount of traction on launch day, you can decide whether you do that, or if you're going to scrap your whole product completely or completely change it up, you decide you're not going to do that. So that's a decision to make. So we knew we weren't going to scrap this product after launch. We didn't know that before launch, but we definitely knew that after launch. So we had a bunch of unit testing to do. In our specific scenario, there's a lot of sign-up processes that happen, a bunch of accounts you have to connect with, FYI. And so we didn't have enough testing there. We didn't have any, really. So we had an engineer spend literally 5-6 days, which is a lot of time, figuring all that out and getting it done. Because that's a very key part of our product. And he was very hesitant to build more features until he did that. Because every time he'd deploy a new code, something over there would break. Crap. That scares him. That makes he doesn't want to deploy new code and build new stuff. So it's a big blocker to his mindset around engineering, right? And the team's mindset. So those are a bunch of key examples. And there's probably others, but those are the ones that come top of mind on like what I call cleaning up house. Then there's this factor that you and I love talking about that I need to mention, and I'm sure you're gonna have some opinions.
Mm.
What about your fucking team? What about them?
Mm.
Are they ready? Do they know what they need to, like, are they going to be ready to build like 10 features in like the next 2 months or 6 months or whatever you learn from your users, these new users, you're going to want to act on. Are they ready for it? Do you have enough people? Can you hire more people? How fast can you do that? Are the people you have ready for shifting from maybe going day to day or week to week to going like planning a whole quarter? If that's where you're at with your business? Wow, like that's something you don't think about.
I love it. It makes a great, I think this outlined like a really good framework in terms of like what people need to think about. And I think we've given people a lot. The only thing that I'll add before we wrap up this episode, the one thing I want to touch on briefly is the emotional side of things, right? Which is one of our favorite angles to look through the world, ourselves and our startups and the things that we do and the products that we build. And I know that, you know, launch day can be like the super thrilling, exciting, you know, emotional roller coaster. And I think a lot of people are, you know, excited about launch day and stressed and whatever it is. And they're going through the motions on the day, depending on how well things go, what kind of feedback they're getting. I find a lot of times that founders and startups post-launch day, they're kind of like emotionally crashing a little bit, right? Probably the time before the launch was really stressful and intense. Probably the release of the launch was really stressful and intense. So usually it's the day after where people are either drunk on their success or they're depressed by the, you know, the lack of, or the perceived failure, right? If things didn't go as well as you wanted, maybe you're a little like feeling sorry for yourself and you're exhausted and a bit depressed and kind of pissed. If things went as expected or even better, you might be a bit high or drunk on that success and kind of exhausted. And I think it's important to manage, A, anticipate those emotions for yourself and your team and manage them properly, because otherwise there's no fucking way you're going to get the right work done that you just outlined for us, right? Because you're like, well, you know, post-launch is keep working, right? And you might have to accelerate some of the work you have to do. You might have to do a bunch of cleanup for the mess that you created pre-launch. You might have to continue talking to people really intensely to understand why they're using it and continue to use it.